This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly teaming up with Free for Mental Health Awareness Week this year. As football fans, we often pride ourselves on knowing everything, from which substitution can turn the game around to the quickest route home to beat the crowds. However, when it comes to discussing feelings with our friends, we might not always feel as confident. That's why we're here to equip you with the right tools so you can reach out to those who can help. If your mates are struggling, let them know that the Samaritans are free to call on 116 123. That's 116 123. They are there to listen without judgment or pressure, 24/7, 365 days of the year. Let's all take a moment to talk more than football.
Good evening, everyone. It is Sunday night, so that can only mean it's the final word on the weekend's action. And that is, of course, the action that took place in Manchester at the home of the champions, at the homes of the champion-elect Manchester City. And we're going to be delving deep into that one tonight. We've got a great lineup of guests coming up. We've got some feedback from stuff that we were talking about last week. So I hope that you tuned in, you buckled up, and we're going to get started. And our question of the night this week, the funny question, the light-hearted question I'm going to be asking our fans and punters are, and you guys in the chat, your favourite cartoon characters. So make sure you think about that before we get to that bit. We're great to welcome back tonight.
It's Lisa.
How are you doing, Hoops? And
how are you doing? Good evening. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm not too bad. It's good to have you back, mate. Been too long, but I haven't had you on for a few weeks. I managed to get you on tonight, so I'm really, really great. I see that you've got Flo with you.
Yeah, pleasure to say hello. Hello. Yeah, well, it's obviously bank holiday tomorrow, so she's allowed a little bit of a late night, so she's joining. But no, it's great to be on. I had a couple of messages from people saying, oh, when are you back on? So it's not kind of getting the schedules right, isn't it, really? So, I wish we were talking after a win, but, you know, it's still nice to be on anyway, so thanks for having us.
Well, fantastic. Flo, if you can just edge to the side for a little bit, because you know, you say it's a back. There he is. Howler's there. He's got the red shirt on. He looks leathered.
He looks absolutely
leathered. Like he's been, you know, he's been on a session.
He looks like he's been on a stag do, doesn't he, actually? He's just propping up.
Faced out, man. I've seen him to have his back turned. I've seen him looking bright and breezy. What happened there for a second? Like he didn't like that as he pulled the internet plug for you for a second. We've got Wolf, we've got Howler. He's wearing the red top and he looks worse for wear. I've never seen him look so. I think he's had a bit of a weekend. He's not been going over with Derek, who my dad's cuddly toy, over to Iron Appa raving, has he?
Not as far as I know, no. So, but yeah, who knows? I've as you can probably see, I've been out in the sun this weekend myself. So I don't know what he's been up to when we've been out. But yeah, he's sort of leaning like this is me. So he's not feeling too great. So I don't know if that's reflective of the mood. We'll see. But yeah, I'm sure he's pleased to be on rather than how he looks at the moment. So
well, he's definitely keeping a an eye on you. We've also got back tonight, Nathan. How you doing, mate?
How you doing, Dave? You okay?
You're rocking a great retro top there, mate.
Yeah, this thing, it's not really the top you want to wear when it's warm, because it's not breathable, has to be said. I think they did breathable technology back in the, when would this have been, early 90s, I think, maybe 94, 95. Yeah, you wouldn't wear this in bed, you just end up about stone lighter. Perhaps that's a good thing.
And how you been keeping?
I'm good, mate, I'm good, all good, yeah. Like we said, it's nice to come on after a bit of a, you know, positivity and a win and a good performance, but you know, as we'll delve in tonight, it's not easy when you're playing the champions of Europe, the champions of the league, you know, the champions of just about everything with...
And the referee
And Atwell in VAR, you know, Atwell are the biggest Wolves fan going, so it's never easy when you've got all that against you, as we've discussed tonight, no doubt.
Well, we will. We'll delve into both the pens and everything. And I saw you last week at Samosa Saturday, which was really good.
An excellent weekend. You know, it's always, Manny does, you know, Manny's a trooper. He raises so much cash, and Samosa Saturday always goes down a treat. And, you know, Manny and yourself just being flocked by fans, it's lovely to see people really enjoy this channel. And, you know, that it's important to a lot of people. You know, it brings a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. And I think it's easy to forget that sometimes, Dave.
Yeah, well, we do work hard at the old, YouTuber. Manny obviously does a lot of great work, and it is great to see all the people and helping and contributing and having a chat and everything. So that was, that's always good fun. And I hope it stayed kind of reasonably dry as well for us, which wasn't too bad. And of course, Manny raised over £6,000 on the day. I mean, there's a great team. Obviously, he's got family. There's a lot of people to help, but obviously, everyone donates as well.
So
it was great to see you there. And we said, when are you going to be able to get you back on? He said, next week, Dave, I'll come on. So that's great, because we do like to move it around on the channel and give different voices and stuff. But joining us again tonight, who was there the weekend and came over at halftime, it is the voice of reason himself, Jack. How are you doing?
Good evening, everyone. We all okay?
Mate, I've got my cup of tea, so I'm all good. You know, Hoops has got Flo to keep him company. Well, I think Flo's just keeping an eye on Howler, actually, that he doesn't topple over. And we've got Nathan back as well. So, you know, it's all good. And Jack, we're going to be getting stuck into a few things first before we get into the game. Just we'll go with Nath first. Manchester City, mate, 5-1.
Discuss.
Dissect.
Tough, isn't it, Dave? I think, you know, pick the bones out, the positivities, really. And there weren't many for us. Everyone knows that the season's pretty much, you know, it's been done for a few games now in terms of league positioning and what we're really fighting for. And that obviously, you know, translates onto the pitch and the players that they don't want to be playing with a few percentage knocked off. But you can see that it's not exactly 100 miles an hour, is it? They're not, you know, the blood and guts of earlier in the season when we're fighting to get at the table wasn't there. So, and we're playing, you know, the best invested Saudi team in the world, really. You know, it's very tricky to get past that team. You, if I was going to pick any highlights, you know, there's a few players that perhaps shone. You know, the likes of Semedo, I think, did well. We've seen Traore come to the fore in the last game or two, and I think he'll be a massive asset next season with the pre-season behind him. But really, that's where, you know, the positives kind of stop. And I know we're going to discuss the VAR incidents, and you know, it didn't have a massive impact on the result of the game. But that first VAR, if that was in a game that was balanced and we really needed to, you know, to get a result, I mean, that's another absolutely appalling decision. We've got a top 10 of appalling VAR decisions. That's got to be up there in the top five. I think the one the other week with Kuna and the swinging arm for me is number one. The Man United one's probably in the top three. You could just, I mean, this isn't what we want to discuss, but, you know, we've been on and talked about VAR. I've been very vocal to say that it should be scrapped tomorrow. You know, I I've been a season ticket holder for 35 years, and it's just ruining the experience. And you've discussed it, Dave, that there are many fans now that are talking about not renewing next year. You know, that long waiting list that we've talked about is beginning to diminish, I think, of fans who are going, the fun is being just sucked out of the live game. It's fine when you're at home. If you're a neutral, it might add a bit of excitement. But when you're sitting there, not knowing what's going on for 5 minutes in a game because there's some kind of VAR decision. And the one the other week with Kilman when he was offside. Yeah. Oh, and you just want to go, well, just get on with it. Even that for, you know, even if it went in Wolves' favour, it's just boring. And I'm getting absolutely sick of it myself. And it's, we've talked about half celebrating goals. So, yay, we'll do a little bit of a fist bump, but then we'll just see if VAR let us score the goal. And the ironic cheers and the FVAR chants, you know, it's getting beyond a joke.
And the new one, it's not football anymore.
Yeah,
and
yeah, you know absolutely.
Do you know what? Every time the Wolves fans sing that, the opposition fans join in.
Absolutely.
They join in with it. Because it's, you know, I know we've really had it bad. And there is sympathy, I think, from a lot of other fans, because I've like listened to other fan channels. I've heard other people talk about it, like, oh, you know, we've heard the lot. Even, you know, it must be bad, because even the main pundits on Match of the Day and Sky and all of them are even saying, oh, and you know, the radio stations are all saying, oh, it's bloody Wolves again. Paddy Power has got a flipping, you know, a constant tweet thing going every match, yeah, checking Wolves club, but oh, it's Wolves again. Of course, we've got to disallow it. It's an ongoing thing with them this year. That ain't by coincidence, because it's happening so many times. And like, you know, I've always been fairly pro VAR, you know, because I thought, you know what? But like, even me, it's like I've had enough. Seeing my dad, like, you know, and like he was, seeing him heartbroken and fed up, and he's watched the real greats like Billy Wright, and all of those, and he's coming away going, I don't know if I want to come anymore. And like you say, that season ticket waiting list, you know, they think, yeah, okay, there's people that have the tickets, but it's getting smaller and smaller. So it's a really, really good point. And I'll really be interested to hear, Lucas, your thought on that first, on both the penalties.
I think the first one was 100% not. He's Aiden always had all eyes on the ball. He hasn't even looked at Guardiola once and what the replays could show. So it's not even like Aiden was aware Guardiola was there. Guardiola saw Aiden go for the ball, and he thought, if I clatter him, make a mess of it, we'll get a penalty, 75% sure. Then I think the second one, I think that was more of a penalty than what Wolves fans have made out of it. Because he took out Haaland and then took out the ball. So I think the second one was 100% a penalty, but the first one, no way.
Hoops, your take? I can see Howler's...
Sorry, Dave.
So, you know, he's whispering in your ear.
Apologies, I was just checking.
You all know that you're just the puppet and he's controlling you.
Yeah, he's my representative. I was going to him for his opinion. No, I mean, God, yeah, that first one. I think the phrase of the season when you hear like some of these VAR decisions is, what do they say, natural coming together, which is what it was. So, you know, it wasn't a deliberate act. It was a natural coming together. And we've been on the other side of that. So I can't see how they could make that decision. I think it was really interesting, and I know it was picked up, perhaps if you weren't at the game, or but if you've seen it post, because I was watching at home, how the referee appeared to kind of rule it out as if he was shaking his head, and then Foden was saying, come on, ref, and then he was very influenced by that decision. So that was quite telling, because I do think at first instinct it was, well, they've just come together, there's no deliberate act there. So, no, I think it's... I've seen a few people kind of argue the point, but for me, that's never a penalty. The second one, I agree completely. That was a penalty. And again, it comes into the fact that I can't read the referee's mind, but has he thought, okay, you know, is he evenly out there? Because, he's thinking, I'll give one. I don't want to... Yeah, I'll give that one. And should I have really given that one? And then the next opportunity goes, I won't give that one. And that's that sort of, in my mind, I'm thinking, if he looks at that in isolation, first one, not a penalty. Second one's a penalty. And I can only echo the thoughts on VAR, from Nathan there. I mean, it's just a soulless experience. You know, I've got Flo here next to me. And we went to the Bournemouth game. I picked her up when Hwang headed that goal in. And it was that pure emotion that we all experienced. What a lovely, lovely moment with your family, your friends. You lift up, lifting her up. I put her down and I've looked and I'm thinking, what's happening? And she's saying to me, what's happening? I'm going, well, he's going to go to his TV now. And now he's going to have a look at it. And then he's going to tell us what's going to happen. And I'm like, this is so ludicrous. How can you explain to someone who maybe is new to the game, say this is what happens? You pay your money, you watch that game, you have a moment, you enjoy it, and then you go, actually, no, just wait a minute, because any minute now, and as you say, you're getting those ironic cheers with that second cheer. So it's, I hate it, it's horrible. It's, football is escapism, and one of the greatest things about football is celebrating a goal. And okay, after the game, you watch it and go, we got away with that one, or we've been robbed. That's fine, but give us that moment. Don't take that away from us. And that's what it's done. And so, yeah, we can talk too much in detail about that. But the penalties, it wouldn't have affected the game, let's be honest, as we saw how it went on. However, that first one, we were in it up until that point.
You say that it didn't affect the game. And it's, and I think, like, I've got quite a few people, let's not take away from how bad we were, really. And we were.
Yeah, and we were. Yeah.
However, that first penalty does affect the game because, we had a game plan. Okay, he'd been forced to fly a back four because Santi's not properly fit. We missed Dawson big time because he literally managed Haaland. You know, he's not the fastest, but he's a wily old defender. He's been around the block. He's seen him come. And his positioning is fantastic. And he's an organiser and a talker. Going to a back four against Manchester City is always going to be difficult. But aside from that, they never really hurt us in the first 10 or 15 minutes. We were passing the ball around. We're trying to play our way into the game. The penalty incident happens. It's not a penalty. Even Ian Wright said it's not a penalty on Match of the Day. It's a coming together. It's literally anywhere on the pitch, it's a coming together. In fact, if anything, he hits Aitnori rather than the other way around. But once it's given, our VAR, is Atwell going to turn that over? No, he ain't. Of course he's not, because he just hates Wolves, or he seems to. The penalty is given. Haaland takes the penalty. He scores the penalty, and right there and then your game plan's out the window, gone, because you're losing 1-0. Man City are in front. The second goal happens, back post, Haaland. The third goal, the penalty, and it'd be interesting to see Jack's take on that, because if you're watching it on telly, you can probably see, with the replays, what's happened. When I'm watching it live, 5 rows back, just inside the penalty area, it looks like a good tackle to me. And Haaland gets up and goes over to Semedo and fist pumps him as if to say, great tackle. And he almost looked embarrassed when the VAR comes. Jack, you're there in the ground. You're on row R, aren't you? You're a bit further up for me. What was your take on both penalties?
I can only echo what everyone else has said. The first one is not a penalty. It's a natural, if anything, like you've just said, Gladiol collides with Aitnori, doesn't he, on his follow-through. It's a natural follow-through from sort of swinging at the shot. So I wouldn't want a foul given against the attacker for knocking into Aitnori. I certainly don't want a penalty given for that. I think it's a nonsense decision. The second one, I've seen it back, it is a penalty. But again, we go back to those two lovely little words that we've had all year, clear and obvious. The referee on the pitch has a good view of it, doesn't think it's a penalty. Haaland doesn't think it's a penalty because he high-fives Semedo and says,
Did you see him do that?
Doesn't look round guilty, does he? Oh, have I got away with one there? None of the Man City fans are going ballistic at it. I know some have gone for their half-time nachos or whatever they have at the Etihad. But it's just one of them, isn't it? They're re-refereeing the game, aren't they? And you know, okay, they've got the decision right in the end, but it's a hefty price to pay, isn't it, to get the decision right? That like Hoops has just said, that soulless trot over to the screen of doom and this kind of, you know, everyone knows what's coming next, but we've got to go through the charade of show him the replay, show him the second angle, zoom in, slow it down. We know he's going to change his mind and give the penalty. Let's get on with the game and you know. So, yeah, I mean, for me, okay, second one, they've got the decision right eventually, but it's such a you know, pain in the whatever to get to that point that I don't think it's worth what we lose from the game in order to get that decision right. Had they not given that penalty and Man City had only won 4-1 instead of 5-1, we're not even discussing it, are we? You know, so it's one of those. Do we need VAR to be re-refereeing the game? Absolutely not. So, yeah, but the first penalty particularly is just absolute nonsense. I mean, and I think Nathan has just said it. The referee shook his head at first, went, no. And as soon as Foden screamed in his ear and made him jump a little bit, he went, oh, I better give it then. Don't upset my superstar players on the pitch.
And that's what's wrong in it. You know, he's been intimidated by the champions at home, looking for the win, given the penalty. And I think Hoops has hit a thing. I think the second one, he kind of knows he's got it wrong, and he kind of like, that's why he doesn't give it. But of course, Atwell's going to jump onto it. Now, in the stadium, as I'm watching it, I'm like really upset about the Semedo penalty because, you know, everything that you've said there, the reaction of the players, the way the ball went when Semedo did the tackle, you're thinking, what a tackle that is. What a tackle. And even Haaland seems to think it's a thing. And then obviously, but we didn't have the pleasure of replays of that thing. So Aaron, I was really angry, but seeing it back, I will say, yeah, it was a penalty, but the first one wasn't. And yeah, has it affected the game? Well, it has affected the game because we've gone behind. And if you hold on 10, 15 minutes more without scoring, we started to come into the game a little bit, didn't we? We had a bit of a spell, then they got the second and then the third. We got a goal with Wang. Good finish, by the way, from Wang. I put the ball in the net. We're celebrating. Funny enough, I started the chant. We're going to win 4-3. Just before we scored, I was singing. We've got this chant going. We're going to win 4-3. And then we scored and we're going, I told you so. And we're still celebrating. But instead of VAR dampening our enthusiasm, Haaland goes up the other end and scores. And we're like, for 30 seconds, we were happy. But there was a lot of gallows humour at the City Ground. You know, there was a lot of good humour. The fans were singing. It was great. But we were outclassed. We were outclassed. We need the central defensive area. Definitely need strengthening in the summer. Big time. I'm really interested in seeing Yerson Mosquera. We need another proper good centre-back. I don't think the midfield's looking too bad. And obviously we need the number nine and probably another forward. I'm not going to talk more about this game because what can you say? We were outclassed. They had two penalties. One wasn't. One was Haaland, a cyborg, you know, from another dimension, literally.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. But we can talk about Tommy Doyle. And let's start with you, Nath. Wolves have made a signing, a summer signing already. 4.3 million, Tommy Doyle, permanent signing, goes through on the 1st of July. Thoughts?
What a snip. I think to pay 4.3 million these days for you know, someone who has got 25, 30 Premier League games this season. And in a few of those, he has sparkled. He scored a couple of good goals. And his ability to pick a pass is, you know, he's probably the best in the team at the moment, I think, on the ball. And, you know, O'Neill has already coached the players that we've got and got better out of the players that we've got at the moment. So I think with the pre-season, you know, I'm really excited about the future. It's a no-lose situation. Even if this doesn't come off as a brilliant signing, the resale value alone's probably got to be a lot more than that. So I'm really chuffed. We need a lot more, as you said, Dave. You know, there's a lot more areas across the pitch that we need to strengthen, and centre half is one of them. And I disagree slightly about the midfield. I think we lack, you know, that creativity we've had in the past. I think, you know, with Neves gone, you know, we're not going to be able to replace Neves, but we need. You know, I don't know if Tommy Doyle's the answer. He's a steady Eddie at the moment.
According to Matt Hobbs, it's the closest thing to Neves that he can find. He reckons he could be.
He could be, again, potential. But I just think we could. What, you know, we'll come on to it probably in later episodes. But if we're going to sell someone, and it's probably going to be Jota, and reinvest that in a couple of players.
Mate, we sold Jota 5 years ago. I think you mean Neto.
If we're going to sell John Richards or Steve Ball, yeah.
He's vice president now.
I made this mistake earlier. I was talking to some friends earlier and I did exactly the same thing. He said, oh, you know, when we sell Jota, and they went, what the you want about Neto? So Neto, who may not be worth the 50, 60 million at the moment, given the injury prone player that he is, a bit like Jota, really. It's where we reinvest that. And, you know, for me, we've got to look at the midfield. We've got to be able to break through those lines a bit quicker. And that's been us all season, really. I think there was a stat, it might have been on Match of the Day yesterday, to say we've got the most turnovers from the press in the whole division. We're something like, we're the worst for it, for goals conceded. And that, for me,
It
happened again. Really sloppy, you know, from the press. We just don't seem to be able to beat the press well enough. And there are teams like Brighton that are fantastic at it. They've got a ball-playing keeper. You know, Sarr for me is another one we've got to look at.
Great shot stopper.
World-class shot stopper, Dave. World-class. But in terms of distribution, just about, you know, I was discussing this the other day, again, with friends, and I can't think of a worse kicker we've had in goal. You know, he's got to be the very worst of kicking that ball. He does it. That's his job every day, kicking a ball, but he just can't seem to do it very well. Anyway, I'm digressing very slightly. I think it's a cracking signing, I will say that, but there is so much more this club needs with this wafer-thin squad next season if we're going to progress. Because at the moment, with those teams coming up from the Championship, and there's quality coming up in Leicester, you know, Ipswich now, probably a Southampton or a Leeds, hopefully not West Brom. There's going to be quality coming up and there's going to be rubbish going back down. And I think it's going to be a much, much tougher season next season. So, yes, a good start in terms of a signing, but we need so much more. And we need Fosun to... I know we've got the sustainability model that we're looking at, but there has to be investment in the squad next season, because at the moment, we can't go into the season with such a wafer-thin squad again.
Absolutely. And you do make a very good point there, because, you know, you've got experienced Premier League players coming up with Leicester. They'll go again. Ipswich is an interesting one. They've still got a lot of League One players that he's got playing well, and they've added a little bit. And they've got real good momentum, Ipswich.
But yeah.
Going up two divisions in a row, that's a big, big ask. It's one thing running away with the League One and then continuing the momentum. They've done fantastic. They've got a great mentality, and he's got a great young manager. And it's brilliant to see another British manager that's going to be managing in the Premier League. That's great news as well. But they're going to have to invest a fair bit, Ipswich. And it's not easy, especially going from two divisions. So that'd be interesting. Obviously, a Southampton, a Leeds, and Norwich, they've been there recently. So it'll be interesting to see who goes out. We won't talk about Sanwell or the West Birmingham Baggy Birds. I just can't see that. But Tommy Doyle, big, good start, yeah?
Absolutely, great start, yeah.
Lucas, your thoughts on Tommy Doyle? Any insight that you want to give us?
I think he's a great all-round player, like Matt Hobbs said. He's probably the only player that Wolves could afford that can play like Neves and a good replacement for him. But I don't know if you've seen that Paul Pogba was apparently linked to us, but
Pogba.
Yeah, I saw something that apparently is linked to us, and he only follows two teams.
How old's Pogba now?
I think he's early 30s.
Moutinho,
yeah,
31. Yeah, I thought he was still banned for a couple of seasons. I thought, hasn't he got this drug ban?
He's banned, but I think he's looking to appeal it. Yeah,
right. Yeah.
And he follows two teams, and now somebody's clocked on that. Now he follows Wolves and Juventus. So apparently there's going to be something in there. But hopefully that Moutinho could be the new Pogba, and Tommy Doyle could be the Ruben Neves. But we just need a strong midfield to push on and strong attackers.
Okay, that's really good insight as well. So, yeah, that's one to watch. Hoops, your thoughts on that signing, 4.3 million. So, yeah, look, Wolves are signing him. You know, Man City do have an option to buy him back at a set fee in his contract within the first 2 years. And they also currently have a 50% sell on. Now, I think the reason that we've got we got Tommy Doyle at 4.3 when he was valued a lot more is part of the deal we did with Nunes, that we dropped the price we wanted on Nunes a little bit to get Tommy Doyle at this price. And that's kind of how it's worked on. And then Man City have built in a couple of T's and C's, which is great because if he does really well and his value gets really high or they want to buy him back, then he's obviously doing really well for us and we'll recoup a lot of money. But your thoughts on that first signing and what it says from the board and for Wolves, because it will be a summer signing.
Yeah, it's a good signing. I mean, he's a different type of midfielder to anybody else that we've got. And I think Matt Hobbs referenced that. You know, he's different sort of the way in which he's built to Gomez and Lamina. And when he came in, when both of those had their suspensions and injuries this year, he's done really well. I really like him. And I think absolutely we've got him at a reduced cost because Man City could afford to do so. And as you say, it could have been a mitigating factor in the Nunes deal, but they're still protecting their assets. So they've got a hold on him should he go up in value as we expect him to do. And, you know, I was reading the interview with Matt Hobbs on the signing, and I think it was O'Neill actually that commented to say, you know, some players are difficult, but he isn't one of them, you know, and he comes across as a guy that's got a good attitude. So if you're getting someone young who's got a good attitude, good pedigree, and as you say, a good number of Premier League games behind him, then it's a fantastic signing. So if you can pick up those type of players, you know, maybe McAtee at Sheffield United to follow someone like that, you know, who are getting games in the Premier League or at a young age, you know, good value, then I think we're all for it. So I agree. I think there's other areas, centre-half, striker, absolutely, we can't be reliant on those players coming back. And as you say, you don't want to get left behind ultimately. I'm not overly concerned with the teams coming up, but the teams that are in and around us, we've got Palace the weekend, are they going to strengthen again? You know, Brighton, are they going to come good again? So it's going to be an interesting summer, and we suspect, as Nathan said, the structure of this club, and as I see it, is you sell a big asset every summer, as we did with Neves. So if we sell them at their peak value, Neto arguably may not be at that with his injuries, then it's all about reinvesting. So it's a big summer ahead, but I think there are reasons to be positive with O'Neill's first transfer window.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will have a lot more. There's a lot more wiggle room this summer as well, because we didn't have any wiggle room last summer. And Jack, finally, the voice of reason to sum up the signing of Tommy Doyle.
Yeah, I think it's a good signing, particularly at the price we're paying. I think I like his personality as well off the pitch. He seems like a really good character, very grounded. Obviously, he's got that footballing background, hasn't he? I think his granddads were both footballers, so from a very young age, he's obviously been ingrained in professionalism and that kind of thing. So that'll have a good impact, because obviously, what you don't want when you bring in younger players is for them to kind of disrupt your dressing room. I don't think he's going to do that. I think he's going to be very mature and be a good influence on the rest of the group. I think Hoops has made a good point. That's the kind of signing we should be making. Those players that don't quite make it at Man City or don't quite make it at Arsenal and Man United, those, if we can get them just at that price because they're no longer needed by those clubs, we can then develop them and maybe sell them back and things like that. So that's as a kind of a financial thing, that's a really good strategy. I think it's probably one that we should be following because there are a lot of good players that come out of those academies, City, United, Liverpool, that don't quite fit what their clubs need, but they're still very, very good players. And I think Tommy Doyle's a really good example. You know, I think he's a Premier League midfielder. Unfortunately for him, he's not Kevin De Bruyne or Bernardo Silva, is he? So he hasn't got a place in that Manchester City midfield, but he's certainly got a place in ours.
Really well summed up, as always. So, guys, we're just going to sum up, finish up this bit, and then we're just going to go on to the fun, a little bit of a light-hearted, and then we're going to go look ahead to Crystal Palace. Man of the match against City, Lucas, and your performance rating?
I think performance rating, I'd give us a 6. Because I think if they didn't get that first penalty, I think it would have been a closer game than it would. Well, it was because Wolves would have still had the confidence that we had the game plan to execute if they didn't get their penalty. And I think man of the match, I'd probably, even though he conceded 5, I think I'd give it to Jose because he still made some crucial saves.
Good points. Good points, Nathan.
I don't think you can give them any more than a 4, really, if you get battered 5-1. I know it's City and it's tough, but they still weren't on it. You know, they could have given them a bit more of a game. Yes, the first penalty was unfortunate, but yeah, I'd probably go for the 4. And maybe agree with, I mean, I'm sort of torn between Semedo and Sarr, but I agree, Sarr's shot-stopping, you know, in the last home game as well was fantastic. So yeah, I'd probably just edge it for Sarr, but even then, you're probably only giving him a 5 or a 6 out of 10, I would have thought.
Well said. Hoops?
Yeah, I was going to go 4.5, so I'll stick with that. I think, yeah, I get the context of it and it might seem harsh and we know how good City are, but without wanting to copy Nathan too much on that one, it was my thoughts that actually we could have gave a lot more than we did on the day, unfortunately. Man of the match, yeah, I'd maybe go Joe Gomez. Not that he was particularly great again, but he seemed to never give up, and I'll give it that for effort alone for Gomez.
Fantastic, Jack.
Yeah, performance. I gave it a 3. I thought we were well off it. Really, I mean, we could have been outstanding, and they'd still probably beat us. They're that good, but we made it very, very easy for them. You know, we gave the ball away on the edge of our box twice. And they scored twice. We gave away a penalty, 2 penalties, one of which wasn't, which we've discussed. And then if Kilman had backed off any more for that 4th goal, he'd have been sat with their fans in the away end, wouldn't he? So it's just, you know, simple errors that, you know, if you make those mistakes against Sheffield United, they're going to score against you. You do it against Man City, it's just absolutely catastrophic, isn't it? So, yeah, I'm going to give them a 3. I thought we were way off it, to be honest. Man of the match, I agree with Hoops, Gomez. I thought he just kept going, kept battling. It's a difficult job playing against Man City's midfield, but he never stopped, and he was the first one to come over to the away fans at full time as well. So I think that, you know, that's got to be something to be said for that as well, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And if you watch our instant reaction, I did give it to Jose Sarr because of his stop stopping. Although I did think Semedo, especially first half, he was really, really good. And yeah, okay, he got caught at the back post for Haaland, but then everyone could get caught at the back post against Haaland. Joe Gomez is a good shout as well, but and I also went with, I couldn't give it more than a 4, literally, because it was a really, really poor performance. And, you know, we've proved that we can be better than that. I know we've got issues and stuff like that, but, like, you know, when we scored a goal, but again, when we've conceded a goal, we concede straight after. At 3-1, if we'd have kept that tight for a couple of minutes, they could get a bit nervy. You nick another one, and you know how football can turn, because there's a lot at stake for City. But Haaland, you know, it was one ball over the top. Haaland cuts inside on Kilman and he kills the game straight away and kills our joy. So, yeah, some good points on that. Guys, we're up to 61 likes on the video on YouTube. So please hit that like button. Let's see if we get to 100. And we're also literally up to 33,295 subscribers on YouTube. So, like, if you're on YouTube or you're not, just hit that subscribe button. Let's get us to 33,300. Let's see if we can do that before the end of the thing. We've got about 10 minutes to go, so let's see if we can get that. You're welcome, absolutely. So yeah, let's just have it. We're going to come back to look to Crystal Palace, but first we're going to be asking your favourite cartoon characters, just for a bit of light-hearted fun. Who wants to go first on that one?
I'll go first, Dave, if you want.
Yeah, go on then, mate.
I'm a massive animation fan. Despite being 50 years old, I'm still a kid at heart. I love my cartoons. So things like Family Guy and Bob's Burgers and obviously Simpsons, you know, South Park, etc. But my absolute favourite is one called Archer, which has got a guy called Sterling Archer, who is a kind of misogynistic spy from the 80s, who, you know, loves the women, drinks too much, and lets everybody else do the work. But Archer is, if no one's seen it, it's such a stylish adult cartoon. It's on Netflix. I'd say check it out if you haven't seen it. It's superb.
Archer. There's a good Archer. One for everyone to note down. Wolves fan said he likes the Fitbird off Scooby-Doo.
It's Archer himself.
Is that Thelma? It's Thelma in it, I think, he's on about. Or is it Daphne? He likes a bit of Daphne.
Daphne.
He needs to get down to a comic on her. I'm sure there's a few that dress up like that. Right, who's coming next? Hoops, I think you and Flo. Flo's been telling you a few things.
And she has, yeah.
His eye round. I think Howler should have his own cartoon. That would be good. There he is. He looks like he's leaning in. He looks like he's sobered up a bit now.
He looks like he's leaning on the bar saying, just one more, please, Barman.
What you need to do is put a gin in his hand, mate. That's what you need to do next time. That would be so funny.
You've had enough. I mean, to me, you can't look past The Simpsons because I love The Simpsons. But as Nathan was just talking about cartoons, I started to think about ones that I sort of loved growing up. And I used to love DuckTales and the Raccoons, Danger Mouse as well. It's just a classic. But yeah, The Simpsons, I'm just getting Flo into The Simpsons now, although some of it is probably still not relevant for her because it's quite adults as well at times. But yeah, Homer Simpson from The Simpsons is an icon, so I'd have to go for The Simpsons.
Absolutely fantastic. Go on then, Lucas. This will be interesting.
I think my favourite one, I started watching cartoons a few years back, but the one that always comes to my mind and reminds me a bit of me at school is Patrick Star from SpongeBob.
Why do you like him?
He reminds me a bit like me at school, a bit clueless, but a bit funny as well.
Can he play football like you though, mate?
I don't think so.
Because, guys, we do need, at this point, we're going to come to you, we do need to give Lucas a round of applause in the chat. There is a reason for this, because you've become a champion this week, didn't you? Because I went down to watch your match as well. Yeah. And do you want to tell everyone that your team and what you won?
Yeah, we won. I think it's called the Carroll Cup, League Cup, Division 3, Division 4 and Division 5 Cup. We won that 3-1 against a tough team that we struggle against sometimes, but it was a good game and great support.
That was down at Sporting Calça as well. There was about 300 or 400 people watching it.
Yeah.
And you went a goal down as well.
Yeah. We always go a goal down against that team. And we always come back get a draw or get a win. And it was great to get a win in the final.
Mate, the scenes at full time. I think it's like you'd won the World Cup, I tell you. It was great. Well, anyway, well done. There's loads of people giving you a clap. Well done on that. And He was literally, you were buzzing, weren't you?
Yeah, everyone was buzzing in the change rooms after. Was banging on the walls to the opposition's change rooms. It was crazy in the change rooms.
Well done, mate. Congratulations. And Jack, before you get on to me, because I'll give you mine as well in a second, your top cartoon characters, your favourite ones?
I don't know if it technically counts as a cartoon, but I quite like Wallace and Gromit.
And we'll give you that. Yeah, we'll give you that.
Yeah, that's quite good, isn't it? Yeah, quite funny.
Any others?
I like The Simpsons, like Hoop said. I think, you know, the longevity of it as well, isn't it? You know, it's still very, very funny, still very fresh. They keep introducing new characters and things, don't they? So things like that are really good. Family Guy as well. So, yeah. But, yeah, there's some good ones out there, aren't there? And I think, like Nathan says, they're making more sort of for the adult market now, aren't they, in terms of, like, grown-up cartoons rather than sort of, you know, Looney Tunes and things. So there's a lot out there if people are really into it so they can go and fill their boots.
Absolutely. Some people have mentioned it. Roadrunner, beep, beep, Tasmanian Devil. Yeah. They're always good. They're always good fun. Always love my Danger Mouse. He's the greatest. He's fantastic. Wherever there is danger, they'll be there. He'll be there. Danger Mouse. Love that one. And Top Cat. Doo-doo. The indisputable leader. Okay, TC. Okay, Officer Dibble. And all that one. I love all that sort of stuff, you know. Absolutely brilliant. So theirs will be mine. Right, to finish off the show. Oh, like, there's a good one here. Andrew's come up. The Jetsons, they're good. That's good as well. Yeah, the Jetsons. That's kind of like a Simpsons modern sort of futuristic, the Jetsons. Keep them coming in. Keep them coming. Right then, we'll go with Jack. We'll let you have the last word as you had the first word tonight. So we'll go with Lucas first. Thoughts ahead of Crystal Palace and your score prediction?
It's going to be a tough game. Mateta is in good form. The whole front line for Palace is in great form at the minute, so it's going to be a tough game to deal with them. But I feel we can get points out of it, or even lose, depending on how we set up and how they set up as well. Under the new manager, they're doing great. So I'm going to put us down as a 1-1.
1-1. Hoops and Howler.
I think, like Luke was saying, I think Palace have come into some decent form, but it shouldn't be any surprise because they've got some bloody good players, haven't they? And, you know, they've really picked up some results since the new manager came in. You know, they're ultimately safe as well, aren't they? So I can't see us not conceding a goal because I think, is it February or March? It's been a while since we've kept a clean sheet now. So I would say, just to be different, I go 2-2. I think a draw is probably where I feel we'll go.
2-2. Nathan?
Yeah, I think, you know, as Hoops was alluding to there, Glasner, is it, the new manager? He's come in and just seems to be getting a better tune out of an already really good squad. There's some great players in there. You know, as Jack said about Mateta, I think he mentioned, he's on fire at the moment. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough one because, I mean, they've not really got anything to play for either as we have them. But I think a draw is probably the, you know, the obvious result. I think we will concede. So I'd probably go a 1-1 with that one.
Fantastic. And the voice of reason, Jack, go on.
Yeah, I'm going to be positive and I think we'll pinch it probably 2-1. I mean, I agree with what everyone's saying. I think Crystal Palace, they're a really good side with some really good players. I know they won at Anfield the other week, but I think their away record generally hasn't been great this year. So that's obviously something that maybe swings our way a little bit because our home form up until recently has been decent. So I think we'll probably just nick it. But I think, we'd like Nathan says, with two teams with nothing to play for, it could be quite an entertaining, quite open game. So, you know, it could be something like a 2-1 or a 3-2 or something like that. So I just hope last home game, I hope it's a good one for the fans to kind of sign the season off, really.
Absolutely, mate. Thank you. Absolutely. And, you know, it's been a really great show tonight. It's been really good. And I hope you've enjoyed it. You know, I want to thank you know, Jack, I want to thank you especially for you know, being grilled a little bit tonight. I knew it was going to be a difficult one for you, but like you've answered, and like if you, you know, as honest as you can with everything, we do appreciate that, mate, and keep up the good work on that, because you are a genuine guy and you genuinely have got the best interest and you're doing the best you can to feed back. And you have had the privilege of sitting down with the board and actually having a face-to-face with Jeff, which is which is great. So respect in regards to that. A big thank you again to creationwolf.com for powering the show. I do want to say a big thank you as well to Chelsea, Captivating Chelsea, who after, you know, doing 6 watch-alongs for us and then not winning, had to miss the Luton game, and then we won, and then she's come back to a drubbing by Manchester City. So she's done 7 watch-alongs now, and you know, that win's coming, but we're evolving the watch-along, new graphics and stuff, we're working hard on that. So Chelsea's doing an absolutely fantastic job. You know, if you want to get involved with the channel, helping, or you want to write, or you know, you good at creativity, please get in touch via you know, admin@alwayswolves.co.uk or any of our socials and stuff like that. You know, always trying to get people and give people opportunities to get involved. So you know, and make sure you do watch the next watch along if you're not at the game with Chelsea next week, because she needs all the support. We try and get that win for her against Palace. Yeah, I really hope you've enjoyed it, guys. Apparently we're better than the BBC. I'll take that. Yeah, nice one. I love that. I really hope you've enjoyed it. If you've subscribed tonight, watching it, fantastic. If you've given us a like on the video because you've enjoyed it, if you've enjoyed it and you think it's value, hit the like button. A big thank you. As I say, this will also be out on the podcast. I know a load of you will also watch it back on catch up. So if you're catching up with it over the next couple of days as well, leave your comments. Loads more content coming up over the next week, of course. We will be back, of course, next Sunday with extra time reviewing Palace and talking about the week's events. Just 2 games to go, and then we can put this season to bed. And just one little thing before we go, just remember how this season started and where everyone thought we would be finishing, and now we're worrying about finishing in the top half and finishing good. It's been a lot better than we think, and let's hope that we have a good summer and we can have an even better year, because the bar that's been set this year, we've got to improve on it again for next season. But like, almost glad that the season's nearly over now. We've got 2 weeks to go. We've got Palace, and then we're away to spoil the party at Anfield, because that's what Wolves do, maybe. Until the next one, from all of us, always Wolves.
Always Wolves.
Again.
Cheers.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.